A long, long, long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away.
Negotiations! With the plans for Giphum Narc's weapons in the Count's possession, the task now falls on the Fortuna twins to find a manufacturer for these weapons of destruction. The Count has sent the wayward twins to Nar Shaddaa, the smuggler's moon, to meet with a law enforcement officer who has lost their way and secure a profitable business arrangement. Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new season of Flight Risk. This is season four. As always, I am your GM, Dwayne. So excited for this new season. Season three went to some crazy places I was not expecting, and I know season four is going to be just as crazy, especially with our special guest player this session. We're going to start, as always, with our player and character introduction and our character question. Our special player today and for this season is Leslie. Leslie, how are you doing?
I think I'm all right, but I'm learning.
Well, learning is growing, and growing is good.
Unless you're mold. Well, then it's good for the mold, but maybe not others.
All a matter of perspective. All right, Leslie, who are you playing this season?
I'm going to be playing the Iktoshi Skip Tracer, Jen E. Ford.
Very cool, very cool. And our question for you is a player question, just for you personally. Of your personal Star Wars headcanon, what one thing would you want to be real in your headcanon that make it official?
It's really stupid.
That's the best stuff.
Franchises.
Por ejemplo?
Because in the College Bros game, I play with the, well, you might guess College Bros, we have Dairy the Hutt. Which is specializes in Blue Triumph ice cream. And we've got the Krakar Barals, which are asteroid-based truck stops and restaurants.
Okay.
That you just find places when you need somewhere to go to eat.
Nice. Okay. Very, very interesting. I like it. All right. Next on my player wheel, I have Kyle. Kyle, how are you?
I'm on a wheel? That doesn't sound it's a wheel.
I spin it and it tells me who to talk to next.
Yeah, I don't.
That means you're at the top. Well, or the bottom.
Apparently, am I head side up or feet? Anyway, okay, fine. I'm doing well despite being on a wheel.
All right. And who are you playing this season, Kyle?
I am so fortunate that I get to play the Dungeon Master, Story Guide, Game Master for this particular arc. No, I'm just kidding. I'll be playing Skip Fortuna once again, the irascible bardic, ne'er do good, but always do well, Twillick Lounge Singer.
Very cool. And same question. What of your personal headcanon, were you to have the power, would you like to make official?
Of course, this is a Kyle thing, not a Skip Fortuna thing, because that would be weird.
Yeah.
For me, it has to do with Shmi Skywalker, because I've always felt like that weird, he's a virgin of the Force and an immaculate conception thing. So I always had a headcanon that initially it was Qui-Gon Jinn that was the dad of Anakin Skywalker, which is why he was like, oh, look, a desert planet. And then he just happens to know exactly where Anakin lives. And there's that moment when Shmi's standing there and he walks up and there's this like smoldering look betwixt the two of them. And I was like, that lady does not know that he's the baby daddy for that small boy who's a slave there right now. That's something. And then later on, it transformed because, of course, Sheev Palpatine is from Naboo. I feel that Sheev Palpatine may have had something to do, since Tatooine's not far from there, since it was
okay.
That Sheev Palpatine may have been the one to have created this vergence. And then Sheev Palpatine is actually Anakin's father. I don't like that anymore now that Tross has come out, because that means that when Ben and Ray kiss. It's literally, she's kissing her uncle.
Yeah, but kissing your kissing a very close family member is very Star Wars. So
it is. Anyway, welcome to my headcanon. It has everything to do with having sex.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, and our last but definitely not least player is Velvet. Velvet, how are you?
I'm doing well. Super excited to be back. How are you doing, Dwayne?
I'm super excited as well. What fun player are you bringing to our game today?
I'm playing Anarchy Fortuna, the just paragon of reason and stability to this motley crew.
Exactly, the voice of reason. That's what it says on her business cards that she hands out to everybody. All right, and same question. What headcanon were you given the reins would you make official?
Following this old theory I had when I was a child that animals evolved into other animals, like a hippo would get buff, grow a horn, and become a rhino.
Okay.
My headcanon is that Ewoks, you know, after eating enough hearts of their enemies, will get buff and big and become Wookiees.
Oh, Pokemon style. I dig it. Okay. They evolve. Nice. And before Kyle jumps in and tells me to answer the question, I actually have an answer for this question this time.
Excellent.
I know. You're the only one who makes me answer. The other teams, they never really give a damn if I answered or not.
No, nobody cares about you, Dwayne, except for me.
I know.
I want you to know that.
Which is funny, because Velvet was the one who asked how he was doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, Velvet's not on a wheel like you are.
Yeah.
I broke the wheel.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
I guess he doesn't have to spin the wheel anymore because there's only one player left.
Exactly. So. I spun it. It landed on Leslie first. I spun it again. It hit Kyle. Then I didn't have to spin it a third time. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah. Could have hit me or Leslie again.
Exactly. We'd be stuck in this loop forever. And it'd be very awkward.
I'd like to stop being hit.
My head canon actually goes to Qui-Gon as well. I like the idea. I remember reading it somewhere, I don't know where the whole midichlorian thing that everyone ignores now. I like the idea of thinking that Qui-Gon is like a crazy-ass conspiracy theorist, and him and like four other Jedi are the only ones that believe in midichlorians, and whenever he brings it up, all the other Jedi just roll their eyes and sigh and pretend to listen and go, yeah, sure, that's how the Force works. Yeah, you go use that little tracker thing and go find him, Qui-Gon. You go do that. And they just let this crazy-ass guy just go do his thing because it's not worth trying to explain to him for the 400th time. That's not how the Force works.
He's like, I have a special set of skills, and it involves blood tests.
Exactly. That's. I just love the idea that he's just a nut job.
The midichlorians are the powerhouse of the cell.
I think that was a mitochondria joke, but...
It was.
Yeah.
I like animal the cell or...
I have no idea what I've stumbled into here.
You were not prepared.
Nope.
We're all mad here. You just have to accept that. Let's dive into show proper. This season starts as a shuttlecraft is making its way towards I can never say this word right. Ecumenopolis? Is that how you say that, Kyle?
Yeah. Ecumenopolis, yep.
Ecumenopolis, thank you. And when we think of Ecumenopolis, we usually think of a beautiful... pretty whole planet thing, but we're not going to that fun place this time. We're going to a moon. We're going to Nar Shaddaa. Started out as a great, beautiful city. As the hyperdrive lanes started becoming more and more abundant, it became less and less essential. And as things become less essential, the unessential people start moving in. It becomes a little shady. And Nar Shaddaa, once a beautiful, beautiful city, has turned into, like I've mentioned before, this is Gotham to Metropolis now. It's big. It's out there. But it's really not a fun, safe place you're going to take your kids. So, you know, what New York used to be. Our shuttle comes in and... You know, I did not ask you the Fortunas. What shuttle are you guys taking from account? Did you get the Crimson Nebula back from Doric? Or are you guys sporting something new?
Probably the Crimson Nebula. I don't think we're going to pass off a chance to show off that Wookiee riding a dragon.
All right. So this Winnebago-looking thing with a Wookiee riding on the back of a crate dragon that's definitely been repainted after it was scratched and banged up at the end of season 2 is being piloted by Perry the Droid. Bail Bronda was nice enough to let us borrow him for this adventure because you guys needed a pilot and Perry wanted to get away from Pip, so he's enjoying piloting you guys in. He's making his way in.
Mr. Fortuna, we are now approaching Nar Shaddaa. Are we looking for anywhere in particular, or are we just heading towards the main port?
Does this one speak with beeps and clicks and whatnot as well, or does he actually talk?
This one actually talks. That is why Bail suggested you take this one.
Okay.
Yeah, he has the regular droidy voice.
I don't know. You do the droid thing, and when we get to the place we're going to be, then Anarchy will do all of the other things.
Very good. We'll head for the Byzantine spaceport. It is the main port. I am sure we'll be able to find your contact there.
Okay.
The ship makes its way down to the Byzantine spaceport. It is a busy, bustling...
Don't need to give us a description of what's... that was Dwayne doing that. Sorry.
As we make our way down to the port, it's bizzling, it's bustling. It's full of ships going in and out. It is a hub of villainy, as it might be. And we don't question what is going on in these other ships, these other cargo that's being unloaded. It's best not if we ask, unless we get stuck into a whole other side adventure, never get to our proper adventure. And that's for another day.
Thank you, Perry.
You are welcome, Mr. Fortuna. Anything to make your day just a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Hey, Perry enjoys being away from Pip. You know, he likes to relax and stretch his legs and be helpful.
That makes perfect sense to me.
The ship lands perfectly, as Perry has done this tons of times. He's a skilled pilot. He enjoys flying and fixing ships. That's all he does. So you guys land, the doors open up, and you could smell the musky, dirty air of Nar Shaddaa drift into your shuttle as you guys make your way off. As you step down the ramp, we see Skip Fortuna. Who's coming off first, Skip or Anarchy?
Probably Anarchy. She likes to stand at the tiptoe of the ramp as it's coming down.
And as she's balancing on the ramp as it lowers, why don't you describe Anarchy as we are beginning a new season? Has her look changed? Does she have any new items, anything going on?
Anarchy has gone through a slight costume change following her adventures on Huik. Her jumpsuit is still like that bright, sickly highlighter yellow, like hazmat style.
Mm-hmm.
She's still got the bells. But instead of kind of dangling wildly sideways like pigtails, they're kind of sleeked back, and she's wearing a hood, but it's got, you know, like holes for the Leku to come out. And she's also wearing the mask of Momon that she salvaged following his defeat in Weak. She's kind of welded it back together and smoothed it out, so it's kind of like this Doctor Doom-looking mask, but it's still got the scorch mark from where Aaron Windstalker stabbed it.
Very, very cool.
She's keeping her face obscured because there's people here that she owes money to. And following some failed gambles with Jakka the Hutt, she has no money.
Following behind her is one Skip Fortuna. What does a Skip's action figure look like this season?
The same as always. He's wearing his leather or pleather pants. He's got his long leather-like trench coat, silk button-up shirt. He's super excited that he has a brand new pair of like mirror shade sunglasses, and these are new. And they kind of magnetically connect to where the temples are because he's a Twi'lek, right? There's no ears for them to latch onto. And as he goes to put them on, they slip and they get caught in the wind, and they bounce, and then fall right through the cracks.
Oh.
And they're gone forever. And he's like, damn it!
That is most unfortunate, Mr. Fortuna. Maybe you should have bought a second pair.
Shut up, droid!
I shall order a second pair for you, Mr. Fortuna, and they will be here by the time you return.
I don't have the credits for that.
Get a string and a magnet. We'll fish them out.
Let's just go.
You guys make your way into this busy spaceport. And my question now is for Leslie. Leslie, would you your character be meeting him at the port, or would you have them meet you at somewhere you like to hang out? How accommodating are you?
This isn't a bar. I don't want to do this.
So as the Fortunas make their way through the spaceport, they hail themselves a cab. It rolls up, all but very sweetly, and the door opens up, and we see a Divitonian. This Divitonian is different. He's got what looks to be a spray-on tan. He is very yellow-orangish, and he has a very massive yellow mustache. As you get into the cab, you notice there's lots of bonsai and small trees and things on there. It smells like pine, almost probably what Endor would smell like inside this cab. And he just turns to the two guys.
Hey, how are you? I'm Mr. Rax. You can call me Low Rax. Where am I taking you today?
What's the name of the bar?
Honestly, it probably doesn't have like an official name. We'll call it Rhett's.
Okay.
Just because it used to say something else, but one of the windows got destroyed. And this is all that's left.
And nobody remembers the original name. It's been broken for so long.
No, nobody cares. You can barely read it because it's all just dirty. Because everything, you know, with the different speeders and whatnot going by, everything's grimy and kind of gritty where she is. It's a very kind of...
So it's called a Ritz?
We'll say low-key. We'll say low-key and it'll be very polite.
It's very rustic.
Maybe Ritz is the bad part of the last name. And like, it was a really, really foul, bad word, like Tourette's or something.
It was probably some term that was okay at one point, and then after the time went on, it became a slur, and someone just shattered it when they realized what it was.
Yep, Ritz it is.
So the cabbie turns on some nice nature sound. You just hear birds chirping. Starts driving towards Ritz.
So is this your first time visiting illustrious Nar Shaddaa?
I look at Anarchy. Well, I don't remember being here before.
No, this is our first time here. We went to a place that was like this, but was not this.
Nah.
I look for the wink.
Anarchy can't wink, so she just blinks.
Okay, she's got the mask on.
Shit.
She's got the mask on.
That's right. Nope, don't recall having ever been here before. That means I have not.
Why, let me do you a favor, give you a couple heads up, couple tricks, couple pointers, couple tools of the trade. Now, Yuzal looks perhaps a tad frail, so I would perhaps recommend not, like, walking around too much at night, or maybe not at all, because you do look like, and this is a technical term, like prime mugging candidates, or just maybe like someone who would be grabbed out of an alleyway. You seem great, you seem like you're nice kids, I don't want to see you get snatched up. So just keep your heads on a swivel is all I'm trying to say.
Thank you. I mean, we don't really have any money. I don't think that they'd gain too much benefit from just robbing us. Is there slave kidnapping and whatnot on this planet, too?
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, it is a matter of life in Nar Shaddaa. That is, there is some indentured servitude. You know, somebody comes, they grab you in an alley, they put you to work. It's kind of a whole thing. I don't really leave the cab because I don't try to get involved in that.
Understood.
So, you know, just, you know, be safe. Be smart, be safe. It's a saying we say in these parts.
The drive goes relatively smoothly. Do you have any questions for the cabbie before you get to the wonderful establishment known as Ritz?
Like a good hotel we can trust?
He chuckles a little bit.
Yeah, probably on a different moon. I mean, yeah, I suppose there's probably a couple that if you paid them well enough, they wouldn't rob you too bad, but, you know.
Well, I mean, is anything owned by Jaka the Hutt?
Jaka? Okay, you know, oh, okay, you know Jaka. Yeah, Jaka owns a couple establishments here. Yeah, she runs an establishment called the Orange Lady. It's a, it's as reputable as an organization or a building can be in these parts. You know, if you name drop her, you're good friends, you're willing to roll up there, you're good post-personal friends of Jaka, they treat you fine, they'll treat you good. So, how do you know the Glorious Hutt?
We had buffet together and I performed for her back on, what was that planet called? Well, wherever she was recently.
Oh, I did not take you as a performer for the Hutts. You know, I no judgment. I, you know what? Different folks for different strokes, whatever floats your boat. Am I right? Yeah, I'm right. Yeah. Orange Lady. That's Orange Lady. You need a place to stay. Orange Lady's the place for you.
Excellent.
You guys pull up in front of a seedy-looking bar. One window is definitely covered with plywood, and you just see scratched, faded letters that say Ritz on the sign. A open little neon sign is above the door. It's flickering off and on, but you have come to Ritz.
Fuck it.
All right.
Walk into the place.
So, Leslie, give me a quick rundown. What is Ritz? Is Ritz a themed place or is it just a regular old skeevy bar?
Now, I had time to think about it. So you guys were making jokes about what happened in the first window, but it was a speeder accident. Uh-huh. And they just closed the window over with the scrap.
Okay.
And the speeder is still in there. It's been turned into like a booth situation.
Oh, nice. Nice. Okay.
It's actually kind of like part bar at this point because, you know, they cut open the one side and the bartender kind of hovers in the middle where the seats would be, and then you can kind of sit around the rest of the speeder. And then the rest of it's just like crappy old McDonald's style tables with those little attached stools that you can't steal.
Because you know someone used to steal the stools and they had to bolt those things in.
Oh yeah, no, it's bolted, and you see really crappy welding everywhere to make sure everything's super, super sturdy.
Very, very cool.
And she's at one of the corner booths that doesn't have a stool. It has, you know, two of those little tiny short benches. So it's still only a person wide, but it has just those little foldy benches instead. And everything is filthy because they don't care.
Exactly. It's very original trilogy. Everything just has a nice little layer of dust on it for no godforsaken reason, but it does.
It's a patina. Class.
It's like, yeah, how is life of sepia tone? How do they pull this off? All right. So the Fortunas make their way into this bar, and per the usual, the Count has given you a little dossier to know who you're looking for. So as you scan the bar, you see your contact. And what does her contact look like, Leslie?
As far as you can tell from where you're coming in, because she has it set up so that she is in a corner where she can see everything, she is wearing like a heavy, ugly, beaten trencher with a hoodie underneath that comes up and a hat over the hoodie.
Okay.
And then she's just kind of leaning and has a bottle and a big mug. And the bottle is about 2/3 empty. And the mug is not the same drink, but, you know, they're both very near to a hand apiece.
Mix in liquor. You're gonna feel that tomorrow. Fortuna, as you see your contact across the bar, do you make your way over? Do you just holler at him from the door because you don't want to step into this filthy place? What's your plan?
I want to find just, like, the drunkest person here.
The drunkest person other than your contact? Okay.
But, like, reactive drunk. Like, they'll do something, not, like, sleepy drunk.
Okay, sure. We'll say there's a few humanoids. We'll say they are Octaro humans. They have gold triangles on their forehead. They look human. They're very bronze with gold triangles on their forehead. And they are being very loud and very inebriated at the bar, say, in between you and Jin. They're just being boisterous, loud, knocking back drinks, slapping each other very hard on the back, laughing louder at no jokes for some reason, because they're, you know, they're dude bros.
I just want to be aware of them for now.
Okay. Okay, I didn't know if you wanted to talk to them.
She's plotting somebody's...
She's setting something.
Use your words, Velvet.
I know.
I was debating.
Okay.
Oh, that's fair. Skip walks in and looks for the bartender immediately.
Sure. There'll be a... We'll say that the bartender can be a Dowitan, why not? Similar to the Count. Just a large mountain of an individual is working behind the bar, is cleaning what to a regular-sized person seems like probably a big old pitcher. It looks like almost like a thimble in their big old mountain man hands. They're cleaning and scrubbing. They just eye Skip as they walk up, and they go,
"Can I help you?"
Skip hasn't walked up. Skip has called out to them from the entrance. And Skip says, "Do you have Oryxian cat's blood?"
Okay. What the hell is that? How are you going to make this random shit up? Okay.
I didn't make anything up. That's an actual alcoholic Star Wars drink.
It is? Okay, well, if it's a real Star Wars drink,
it's from the truce at Bakura.
Okay.
Well, it wouldn't be much of a bar if I didn't. Are you coming inside? Because I'm not going to walk it over to you.
I just wanted to know if you had it. I will take a fuzzy tauntaun, and I go to sit down where our person is.
That'd be a pain in the ass. All right. So you just want a fuzzy tauntaun.
Please say it's served in a fuzzy glass.
Well, every glass here is a little fuzzy.
It's the mold.
Why do you think I drink out of the prepackaged bottles and bring my own pint glass?
So I assume Velvet follows Skip over to Jin, and you guys all sit down together. Skip, in the dossier, you know that you are to meet with Jin, and they're going to basically almost fill the role of Doric for you guys to keep an eye on you, keep you guys on the safer side, because they are from Nar Shaddaa. They know this area a little bit better, and Doric is off on his own little special magical Mandalorian adventure.
Ah, so you are our Doric.
Excuse me?
I look to the left and right.
All right, you are excused.
Now, should I know what a Doric is?
You've never heard of the infamous Doric, the Count's right-hand, blaster-in-hand Mandalorian who always does what he's told and never shirks his duties from protecting the Fortuna twins?
Also known as the fighting man-boy of Coin.
Very good point.
That's right, he was a fighting man boy.
Should I assume that you are the twins?
Well, together we are. I'm not me alone. That would be weird.
There's a mask on your Twin here.
Well, I mean, you can still see the Leku and general Twileckiness.
They're more than you two.
I just take that mask off. I don't understand why you're still wearing it. It's puzzling.
I'm keeping a low profile.
Yes, but you even wore it in the steamer. Like, it's weird.
It's good for my pores.
Your mask just... Fine. This is Anarchy, and I am Skip. And you are... Zehennifer? Is that right? Did I get that right? Please say I got that right. I'd hate to get that wrong.
You got a couple letters right.
X. I thought I got all of them.
I went up via vowel. On credit.
A small little droid rolls up and hands Skip their fuzzy tauntaun.
Excellent. I don't pay the droid.
You'll pay on your way out, I guess. Sure. You can run a tab.
Before the droid leaves, I want to try out my...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
My mask.
Okay. What are you going to try to do to this poor droid?
I'm going to try just to hack it with a simple command.
Yeah, the mask is from Lord Moman, and in her time off, she was able to repurpose it and basically turn it into Google glasses. So it's a data pad she wears on her face.
Okay. Sure. Cool.
Google glasses. That's awesome.
So, okay, you're going to try to hack into a simple service droid that's going to be just one purple. It's not really designed. No one's expecting it to be hacked. So, yeah, one purple versus whatever your computer check is. And remember the blue because it was once possessed by an evil Sith Lord.
It's three successes and four advantages.
The droid's like, yes, master, I will serve you forever. You are my lover.
Yeah, the droid turns, rolls about a foot away, stops, and turns right back. And its little blinky lights are just pointing directly at Anarchy right now.
Those lights just form a heart.
They do.
Exactly. So it's got one of those little emoji faces.
When the mask is activated, there's an added glitch that I couldn't fix in the mask that whenever a command is used to hack something, the voice drops a bunch of octaves to like Vader territory.
You will bring me the finest proof alcohol you have, droid.
Jen, I don't think that's Anarchy. I start to get up from the chair.
Oh, goodness. All right, the droid just turns, whisked away, heads behind the bar, and a few moments later, it comes back with a bottle of whatever this place's nicest alcohol is.
Probably Erixian cat blood.
Sure. Why not? We'll keep it in. It's Erixian cat blood. It's a beautiful vintage from X amount of years ago.
I pull out a tiny little pop-up shot glass from my pocket and just slide it across.
I like
the...
this one.
Don't use their dishes.
I'll just look at Jen incredulously and just be like, this isn't for drinking.
Molotov cocktails, right on.
Jen does not compute, this isn't for drinking. But drinking is for. Drinking is for alcohol. Alcohol is for drinking. That's just how it works. But she won't voice that. She'll just kind of, okay.
All right, as you guys are getting to know each other and becoming quick and fast best friends forever, you know, Skip, from the dossier, that once you've made contact with Zhen, that your next point of interest would be to head to the Meltdown Cafe to meet with Madame Beltane.
Okay. Skip's like, well, before we get things started, we should get to know one another. I pick up a menu from the middle of the table, and I'm like, are these deep-fried droke any good, or should we get the wings?
Don't recommend eating here.
Oh, okay.
Let's just say everything has the same texture.
What kind of texture?
She reaches over to another table, scratches at the surface, and flicks the little bit of crumbly bits at him.
I'm confused, I'll admit it. That's not Anarchy's voice, and you're throwing food at me.
It's exhaust grit.
Right.
If you want...
Well, then let's not eat here.
We can grab churro at a cart.
Sure, I'm familiar with that. I believe we are not far from the Meltdown Cafe, which is where we are to go next. So are you a guns blazing, grenade chucking, bladed weapon wielding bodyguard or something else?
Just one second. What would I know about them? What would I have been told?
The Count would have told you that the twins are very unorthodox and very efficient, but very unorthodox. that whatever you're used to is, this is definitely, from people, if you've had a chance to talk to anybody else, this is a test. If you can handle the twins, you will be in the Count's good graces. Okay. But there have been others that have not passed this test and kind of disappeared. So like the count is counting on you to keep his favorite niece and nephew safe.
She'll weigh the thought and look between the two. I'll be what's needed, but I don't have grenades.
Oh, that's good. I find they just create a mess.
Among other things.
Messy dodos, messy twin sun pirates. It's
dire dodos. They're like regular dodos, but dire.
Very informative. Now, if you're not going to use this, pops a tiny shot glass back in like some inner pocket, pops a lid over the glass, corks the bottle, and just secrets all of these things about herself in just like trench coat pockets.
Interesting.
You guys going to make your way out, or you're actually going to try the cuisine here at Shayrette?
We were advised not to, so...
It'll clean you out.
I do not need that.
The three of you get up to leave the bar. The bartender...
Hey, buddy, are you going to pay for your drinks?
Of course.
You pay the X amount of credits that a fuzzy tauntaun is worth?
That was delightful.
And he notices that Anarchy is carrying a bottle that he doesn't remember bringing over, but then again, he's didn't really pay attention when you walked in, so maybe you brought a bottle in, and he just, as you walk by, he goes,
next time, don't be bringing drinks to my establishment. That's what I do here, so just be respectful of the establishment. Come on, guys.
I didn't see a sign saying no outside food or drink.
Oh, okay, well, it was on the window with the speeder and things. If you would have read the menu, it was in there. So...
Joke's on you, I can't read.
Oh.
Maybe you should post a menu outside, then.
You came in with that bottle, where did you get it?
As you guys are heading out, Velvet, you have a small, I don't know, like almost like a mouser droid, I guess, one of those just rolling behind you, and...
Hey, wait! Are you stealing my droid?
No, I am not doing that.
It seems the droid has decided to follow me. It looks like you've chased it away with your neglect and indifference.
No, I...
But Anarchy...
I paid for that droid, so it's my droid. Either you pay for the droid, or we go round and round.
He stands up, and he's like the count. He's about 8 feet tall, about 400 pounds.
Wait. What? How about we do a... You sell him the bottle of alcohol... For the droid.
I don't know, that's...
This was my bottle of alcohol that I brought. Although the droid has imprinted itself upon me, I will return him to you.
Okay, so you cut your connection with the little droid?
Can I leave, like, a little sword of Damocles in the droid?
Goodness. Sure, yeah. What are you programming this droid to do at a future date?
When the clock strikes midnight, he will throw a bottle at the other bottles and light a match.
At midnight tonight, okay. What if this place burning down?
But he'll pull the fire alarm first.
Okay. You're not a villain.
I have to leave my calling card.
You guys make your way out to the front of the Rhett Bar and Grill. I don't know what it is.
Rhett's?
Speeder Cafe.
Rhett's Speeder Cafe.
There's a reason everything tastes like exhaust.
Exactly.
It's not good, but it's a reason.
Everything's cooked inside like a rusty carburetor.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, can't argue with that logic.
It's just flash fried through repulsor beams.
As you guys step outside, you are bumped into by a slim Pantoran woman.
Perfect. You're on time. The madam appreciates punctuality. You see those gentlemen behind me with the coats and the goggles? We can't have them overhearing what I'm about to tell you. Find me at the Northwest Droid Access Hatch in about 15 minutes. Can you do that?
Yes.
Good.
And she just turns and keeps walking by you.
What the heck was that? That was weird, wasn't it? We have to go to the Meltdown Cafe. Shen, do you know where that is?
About 30, 40 seconds after, two large individuals show up in the black coats and goggles, and they stop and stand in front of the three of you and go,
hey, what are you doing?
We are going to the Meltdown Cafe.
After we get some churros.
My dossier told me to go there.
At this point, Jen just kind of straightens up and just looks him straight in the eye and says, are you serious?
Are you speaking to me or to these two gentlemen blocking our way?
To you.
Oh, always serious. Do you know where the Meltdown Cafe is?
Over
I
there.
To the two guys.
They don't need to tell us. I know where we're going.
Oh, excellent. Sorry for disturbing you, gentlemen. Have a pleasant afternoon.
I turn to leave.
Can I actually, like, make a roll to see if this is for real? Or if, like, if is he just that big of an idiot? Or is this intentional?
Roll for reality.
Suspend reality. Roll for disbelief. He's actually a dragon.
He starts walking away, and I just stand there and look at the two brutes. And I'm like, did that? What?
All right. So, as Skip makes the way to the street, I assume are you trying to wave down a cab?
Oh, is it a cab right away, or is
it's definitely in a nicer part of town. This is.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're currently in, like, in what's called the Duro sector, and you want to get to the Corellian sector.
Oh, okay.
I figured we'd take a tram.
So
it's cheaper, but...
We'll have a cab roll up, and a familiar yellow-orange mustachioed individual opens a door.
Well, hey, it's you guys again. What, were you leaving already?
Lo! That's amazing.
Yeah. Small moon.
We can only pay for so many extras in this game. I understand.
Budget was tight.
We paid a lot for the CGI, and we got to use it as much as we can.
Nobody's going to notice that all of the ships in the background are the same, like, 25 ships. But they're really, really well done.
We have a Scooby-Doo budget here. It's the same four ships just going past us every time.
I love it.
So,
and you know which one's going to land, because it's a slightly different shade than all of the ones that are flying.
Exactly. It's darker, so it's like, oh, that one's landing.
Did the nooks make any effort to follow them?
No, they just kind of eyeball the three of you, and then they just continue following the Pantoran woman as she hurriedly just walks down the street, kind of just looking around like a tourist would.
Okay, where did she tell us that she wanted to meet?
She said the Northwest Droid Tunnel in about 15 minutes.
Access Hatch.
Access Hatch, I'm sorry. Wrong note. Access Hatch in about 15 minutes.
Is that going the same direction we'd be headed?
No. The Northwest Access Hatch is probably like a 5-minute walk from here, and then the Meltdown Cafe is on probably about a 20-30-minute drive from here.
When were we supposed to meet, madam?
There was really no set time. That's kind of where she operates out of, so... It's kind of a standing when the Fortuna's got there, head over at your earliest possible convenience.
Don't you think we should examine the offer we just received?
What offer? To get robbed?
They're just heeding the advice of Lo. He's like, don't walk these streets.
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting into the cab in the passenger seat.
Can I please, like... I hate to demand a roll, but I want to know something about what the heck is going on.
Skip has his laser focus. He knows he's supposed to go this place, and that's where he's going.
What sort of roll are you looking for?
Well, I was going to go for perception on the Pantoran woman. Like, her demeanor, did she actually approach us with any particular acknowledgement of who we were? Or was she just kind of like... help me be a distraction so I can get away from these creepers.
No, she came up and she said, you're on time. The madam appreciates punctuality and asked you to meet her at the droid hatch and our access hatch in about 15 minutes.
Nobody should know they're meeting the madam except for the madam.
That's correct.
And three people here. Two people.
That's correct as well.
Two people since Skip is already in the cab. What is Anarchy doing in all of this? As you've got a very puzzled Ictochi kind of half-turning, like, that thing where people stand in one place and just kind of turn in a circle real quick. They're like, am I still in the same world?
I was keeping an eye on the mooks, making sure, they weren't going to try anything funny. But then I will turn to Jeanne and just be like, listen, it's a power move. We're going to go eat, and then we'll be there. Can't let them know we're at their beck and call. If you're submissive, they get complacent. Got to keep them on their toes.
I see. So you're the brains of the outfit?
I mean, I don't like to brag. Besides, also, I think most people expect that we would go there straight away. So if anybody's going to try anything funny, but if we make them wait, no, they get bored, they get sloppy.
Sound logic. Shall we check out the access hatch?
Well, I want to go eat.
There is a churro cart 10 feet from us.
Churros aren't food, they're pregame.
So, Lo, do you know anything about those two individuals in the black with the glasses, goggles, whatever they are?
Sure,
they look nice.
He looks and goes,
Oh, those are Mokshok's boys. He's been doing a whole power play thing. He's been pushing people's buttons. He's one of, you know, you get these up and comers, they get in everybody's business. It's a whole thing. Honestly, he probably ain't gonna hang around too much longer between you and me, because, you know, somebody's probably gonna...
Who is this, the madam?
Oh, you're here to see Madame Beltane?
Oh, Madame Beltane.
Who, you do run in some interesting circles. I mean, you know, Jaka, you know, the madam, I mean, who?
That's right, yeah, you gave us your name. I'm Skip. Skip Fortuna, we should exchange numbers so that if I need a personal driver while I'm here, you could be my guy.
Definitely, definitely. Of course, at your service.
She gives you his comm code.
Excellent. And this is my dear cousin, Ikrana Fortuna, and our newest friend, Jen E.
Ford.
Jenny.
Jenny. Jenny from the block.
I figure I actually know Lo. This is just like, sup.
Oh, Jen, how you doing, Jen?
Not sure, Lo, but I have a feeling I'll be seeing you again.
Love to hear it. Anyway, where am I taking you to?
Loop around the block and drop us off in the northwest, right over there. You can actually see it from here.
Okay, yeah, you know, sure, come on in, yeah.
And yeah, he does a little scenic little route around a few of the blocks and takes a few minutes and gets over.
Jen has him stop at a drive-thru that has more than just churros and is like, would you like to order?
Sure, whatever the Nar Shaddaa equivalent of, like, tacos are.
I'm good. Someone flicked grime at me earlier. I'm satisfied.
I have no clue what to do with you. She reaches in a pocket, pulls out a flask, does a little just quick unscrew, flips it open, knocks back a swallow, puts it all back again. No idea.
Anarchy's gonna like lean out of the cab and get super close to like the intercom.
Welcome to the slag pit. How can I be a service for you on this fine Nar Shaddaa evening, day, time, period?
Whatever's got the FDA warning or Star Wars FDA equivalent for a heart attack, give it to me. I have a high metabolism and a need for speed. Also fries.
All right. That'll be one Jumbo the Hutt special. Will it be anything else?
Fine, I'll take a Happy Hutt meal. It's fine. Yeah. Whatever.
Would you like the apple slices or the churro sticks?
Neither.
I'll take the churro sticks.
I just want the toy, dammit.
Yeah, we're going to need a list of the toys to make sure we're not getting into repeats.
It's just a joke book now.
It's a joke book with some stickers in it.
It's a link to an app.
It's a QR code, and you got to scan it with your thing. And
to jazz it up a bit, it's a temporary tattoo. That's a QR code.
I love it.
Oh. Nice. All right. So you get your Jumbo the Hutt meal, the Hutt Happy Meal, whatever we call that.
Happy Hutt Meal.
Happy Hutt Meal. And yeah, you guys make your way over to the hatch where you see the Earn woman kind of slinked off into a corner, looking around, making sure she wasn't followed.
Speaking of which, do we see her friends?
Give me a one perception check. You guys can do it as a group or individual if someone's like super perceptionable.
I have three ranks.
All right.
I'm a detective. I should be good at something.
Sure, it's just going to be against a two purple.
And roll. All
right, you do see a few of the individuals, the two that you originally saw, and there's a handful more. None of them are where this woman is. They seem to be actively looking for her, but she must have given them the slip or lost them somehow, but they don't seem to be looking in her general direction right now. But you do see there's about five black trench coaty goggled individuals on the street right now.
I just wave at her to come over to the car.
I was gonna say, do you want to invite her in?
Yeah,
sure. Okay, so she kind of
like, Jen, move over.
She looks and like gestures back at you to come to her, and then there's a whole awkward like, me come to you or no, what's going on?
I shake my head a couple of times like, no.
No.
Yeah, she just sighs real heavily and and just makes a run for the car as quick as they can. I assume someone throws open a door and she can dive in.
This is something the twins learned in early childhood. Everyone else will break before they do.
Exactly. The record for the silent game in the Fortuna household is 6 months.
Is Anarchy up front or in the back?
I assume Skip was Skip sitting in the back?
Skip was sitting in the driver's side passenger seat initially, but then as soon as she gets in the car, he's like, oh no, I will climb into the back as well. And he makes it really awkward. And like, there's a bunch of people. No, Jet, you go in. Someone else go in.
I get out, walk around, and get back in. And then I reach back, like I lean bodily all the way back, and I pull my little thing of churro sticks out of the door cup holder, and then I go back to my seat.
And Skip initially thinks like, oh, you're going to put his seatbelt on for him. And he moves like, and then he sees that you don't, and he gets all like, Dork would have. And then he puts his seatbelt on.
Dork's so great. Why?
As Skip was climbing into the back, Anarchy will be trying to climb into the front. She has removed all the pickles and onions and gross gunky stuff from her burger as usual. And she's just got it cupped in her hand in case they pass the trench guys. She'll just do a condiment by.
Oh, Jesus.
Nice shot.
As she gets in, yeah. Load, starts driving off, yeah. You could throw some condiments at those guys. And Lo, being the expert driver, is he just pulls into traffic and they quickly will lose the car. Because Lo, we know Divitonians are excellent cabbies. And he gets lost into the crowd.
But I wanted those pickles.
Pickles are gross. You'll smell like them all day.
Fair.
You can smell things from behind your mask.
I work with a lot of fumes. I gotta know when there's danger.
All right, the woman goes,
ugh. Thanks for the ride and everything, but yeah, those goons have been following me. I think the madam's plan might have gotten out a little bit. So people are wondering what she's trying to pull off. But now you guys are here. So this is probably going to be the greatest heist anyone's ever heard of in Narshada.
Thanks for listening to the Flight Risk Podcast. The best and easiest way you can help the show is simply by spreading the word on social media. If you want to help us in a more monetary fashion, head over to patreon.com/flightriskpod. If you want to reach out to the show, we can be found on Twitter @FlightRiskPod and on Facebook. This week's episode of the Flight Risk Podcast featured the vocal talents of Jeff Stormer of the Party of One podcast as Lo Rax, John H. Perry of the Redacted Files as the drive-thru attendant, Mark Eberhardt from Coruscant Knights as the bartender, Mikey Nicholsmith from Force Majeure as the droid Perry, Grayson Simmons LaRose from Dungeons and Delights as Thug Number One, and Rachel Roque as the Pantoran Woman. Please check out the show notes for links to all of their projects.
It's a really weird name.
Yeah, you know, I have odd naming.
So do you think Doot-da-doot-da-doo is involved in crime?
Sorry.
They're like Toodle-Doo and Toodle-Dum. It's Doodle-Doo and Doodle-Dum.
Sorry. I have a list of names here, people.
They're working for Doot-da-doot-da-doo. It made sense to me.
I'm rusty. It's been like a month.
So they're Doot-da-doot-da-doo-ins?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Doot-da-doot-da-doo-ins.
Yes. No one messes with the Doot-da-doot-da-doo-ins.
They're the Doobop gang.
Exactly. People just scat around here.
Not to be confused with the Bebop gang.
Correct.
Or the Rocksteady. Or the Rocksteady gang.
Beat you.
A big turf war is brewing on Nudge. Gotta stay clear.
All right. So, yeah.